Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And we have lots in the gallery to welcome. We have a full house. We've circulated the agenda. There are a couple of additions. The first is up under right after number four. We're going to have a presentation, and by that I don't mean a formal presentation, but you'll catch up with it. It's a presentation. We need to add under in camera 17.5, contract negotiations. Are there other changes? Councillor Fancy, did you want to move an item up the agenda?
No, I'll be fine.
You'll be fine? Okay. Yes,
kind of update under engineering works.
What do you want to do under engineering?
Update,
okay. So 10.2 is update. Project update?
Just on the progress of engineering works.
I just have a question.
Councilor Deputy Mayor?
What did you mean when you said we're going to have a presentation between item 4 and 5?
There's
like
a presentation. Councillor Waterman received something on behalf of the region. He's going to make the presentation.
So it's like 4.5 between 5?
It could be 4.5.
Right.
It could be 5.1. Whatever. Whatever. It's going to happen there. It's not a formal agenda item. Yes.
Could we have for 9.2, we'll ask Councillor Fisk to give us an update on Fire Prevention Week. I'm sure he's got a few tidbits to share.
Okay, are there other additions, deletions? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Councillor McLeod, Councillor Waterman seconding. All in favour? It's unanimous and thank you. The first item on the agenda is a presentation by the Queen's Care Society, and I would ask John Murray and Dr. Doucette, I think, to come forward, or anybody in the rest of your group, please come forward. Welcoming Mayor for Life, John Lee from the Council Chamber. Welcome, John. There we go. Okay.
Just roughly, how long are we here for? As long as we want, or?
We've got a fairly full agenda, so 3 or 4 minutes is fine, John.
Mr. Mayor and Council and others in the room, we appreciate having this opportunity to tell the community, really for the first official time, what we're all about and who we are. We're the Queen's Care Society, and we really came out of some conversations that took place just about this time last year. Our concerns were the quality of life for seniors in our community, in our region. So we decided to put a group together because we really thought there was some things that needed to be researched and spoken to, and we decided to do that. And we had our first meeting, I think it was early in the year or December, whichever. Our annual meeting will be coming up early this year. And the what came out of it basically was, what can we do to make this a better place for seniors? We've been looking at statistics till they're coming out of our ears. We're trying to educate ourselves to the things that are involved in this. But we do know that there's a fair number of people that are moving outside the area, some by necessity, in that there isn't the right kind of care here for them, or there isn't the right kind of housing for them. And so clearly that became one of our major planks. Our board of directors are somewhere here, so I don't forget them. And I'll start with we call him our guide, but Murray Doucette, who's also the CEO of the Manor, is giving us some advice and is our source for a lot of information. Gary Jones is on our board. Dr. Al Doucette sitting beside me. Jill Cole is our treasurer, who I don't think is here. Louis Toussaint is unable to be here. He's in Ottawa. He's one of our board members. New lawyer in town, Chris Folk, is on our board. Mayor for Life, John Leaf, is on our board, which we appreciate. Vernon Oikle is on our board. Norma Linko is our vice chair, and you can imagine the position she's had in this community for some years is a real source of information. And I'm John Murray, and I'm the chair of this organization. Too many pieces of paper here. You know, I received some information over the weekend from the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, and it's just really just speaks to what we're trying to speak to. The Federation of Canadian Municipalities was trying to prepare information with regards to the election. But they point out very clearly that we have a population that is aging rapidly in this country. And we've known this for years. I just don't think people realize the significance of it. But in a town this size, or a community this size, it's even greater because a lot of the young people aren't here because of the closing of Bowater, which is, I know, something you're grappling with, and I know there's been some movement in that area, and that's good. But we have a lot of seniors, and we're going to have a lot of needs for those seniors. In Canada, in 2011, there were $5 million adults aged 65 and over in Canada. By 2036, there's going to be expected to be over 10.4 million. So that's doubling, and we have to start thinking about that because we have a community that is struggling to create the infrastructure that these people need. Seniors throughout Canada, not just here, are struggling to find affordable housing. Quite often when they go into special housing, special care, the prices don't go down, they go up. Rent at seniors' residences is about 2.5 times the cost of rent on a private market. Just some of the statistics that we're well aware of, and I think most people are aware of them, but sometimes when you think about what's the consequence coming up, we have to get moving on it. So we've developed some strategic goals, and you have those. I've had them sent around to you. Our strategic goals are, first of all, we want to become a group who can identify these goals, along with you, along with other groups in the community. And that would then say we want to work in partnership with you and other groups in the community. And I have an example of one situation we're working with partnerships, and I think you'll find it pretty interesting. But we want to enhance the lifestyle of seniors. We want to educate ourselves in the community with regards to the need for that. We want to be very good at networking, as I was saying about our partners. And we're working full-time on that right now. And we realize that there are major problems with infrastructure in this community and others, but certainly in the County of Queens. Our current agenda sees us working in transportation, housing. What we're trying to do right now is introduce ourselves to the public, and we want to develop a foundation that we understand that the provincial government only has so much money, and right now it's none. Therefore, we have to start looking after ourselves. This community is well known for its benevolence and its success in most recently building our hospital, the sports center, Amira Center, we are quite capable of doing that in this community. Therefore, we think there will be a lot of people that want to do that for seniors too. So we're going to be developing, and believe it or not, we have a few thousand dollars in that foundation already. So we're full speed ahead on that. With regards to transportation, we aren't always going to be hands-on, but in this case we are. We sent two of us up to Bridgewater, Gary and myself, to look at their senior wheels program, which is very commendable, really impressive. And they have money in the bank, but they had to go buy a second bus if they could. But they're dealing within the town for seniors and people with disabilities. And I think they have a radius of about 3 miles around Bridgewater they deal with too. We were so excited as we drove home that we're kicking our heels and saying, look, we got to do it. And obviously, our county is not exactly the same as their county, and we have to, and Bridgewater and Liverpool are different, particularly in numbers of people. So then we thought about it, and we came to the conclusion that we had to find out what the ridership would be. And we now have a survey that has been done up for us by Dalhousie. We have made some key partners. The VON is a partner with us, the Home Support Services, Queens Community Health Board, and we are requesting that the Region of Queens becomes a partner with us in our endeavor to finish off the survey. We think that you have the ability probably to get the survey out and in with little or no cost. Now, I may be wrong, but that's what we think possibly happen, because you're in touch with the 5,500 or so households around the community, and a lot of those households have seniors in them, so we can reach them through that. So if you would entertain that thought, we would appreciate that. So there's a little bit of money involved, and we've gone out to the clubs in the area, the Lions, the Kiwanis, and the Kinsmen, and we have made requests to two of those clubs, and the third, when we can get to see them, to help us with some of the cost of this. We're not sure what the full cost would be, but if we took it on and tried to pay all the postage to them, it would be somewhere around $7,000-$8,000. We don't have that. But if anyway, we think that the region may be able to help us with that. The other reason we need to have a good relationship with the region is that there are some amounts of money in Halifax grants that are available, and any grant proposal is put together has to be signed by the region. So we would do the work and bring it to you, and you'd skim it, see that it's right, hopefully, and sign it. Okay, so that's the transportation issue. With regards to housing, and this is the other big area of infrastructure that we have problems in this area, and they're pretty severe. Al Doucette has been the chair of the Housing Committee, and I've asked him if he would speak to you on this topic.
Again, thanks for having us come out and speak to you. This is kind of exciting for us, and we're enjoying doing this. When we looked at the housing in the area, we really looked at, well, we looked at a lot of statistics too, but one of the statistics that steps out is that between 2001 and 2013, there's been an increase of 28% in the population of seniors in our community. That's, and when I talk about seniors, I'm saying actually 55 and up, not 65. So it's still a dynamic group. It's not a bunch of old people. It's a very dynamic group. We reviewed a study that in 2004 was done for the region of Queens, and it was entitled Housing Supply / Demand Market Study to Identify Housing Needs in the Liverpool Area, projected over a 10-year period. So that would be from 2004 to 2014. And I'm just going to read to you the recommendations from that report. Number one was to solicit interest from a private developer or a nonprofit group to work collaboratively with the municipality to develop an application for the next call for submissions under the Affordable Rental Housing Program. This will likely require the municipality to be an entity investor through the provision of free land to the development activity. Number two, solicit interest from interested members of the Manufactured Housing Association of Atlantic Canada to identify a strategy for potentially developing a land lease community in the municipality. This should follow the review. This should follow the review of the Town of Bridgewater Land Lease Community Bylaw to determine the feasibility of adopting a similar bylaw in the municipality. Number three, solicit interest from developers and investors to review the demand projections and market segments presented here for the purpose of encouraging them to develop a feasibility and marketing plan for condominium, apartment, and subdivision development. Number four, develop an aggressive marketing strategy selling the community as a place to live. This includes, for example, investing in downtown redevelopment so that the right combination of services, amenities, and specialty retail are present, linking to and benefiting from the expansion of generic and big box retail services being developed nearby Bridgewater and playing up the mix of outdoor recreation and cultural activities available in the county and region. These will be attractive for professionals with disposable income and those who are older, active people looking for a healthy lifestyle environment. And the last one was act on the downtown redevelopment strategy to provide an environment attractive for people and which supports the marketing strategy to attract new residents to the area. So that was the study that was commissioned by the region. And we would kind of like to see going forward, I mean, this is, again, this was done 10 years ago, but a lot of the stuff in there is, applicable to today. But we think that going forward, there really needs to be a new proactive approach to these kind of situations. The other things that we were looking at for residential residences of seniors in the community was, of course, looking at our long-term care facility, which is Queen's Manor, which was built in 1981. That facility was built for a group of people that really is not the group of people that's in it right now. The group of people in it now is much more complex. There's a lot larger incidence of people with dementia. So the facility was built for a completely different population mix than it is now. So that needs to be looked at going forward. How can we change that? How can we bring something that was more state-of-the-art to our community for those kind of people that need that kind of care. The residential care beds in Queens County are concentrated at Hillsview Acres in Middlefield, and that's a 29-bed facility, which is owned by the Region of Queens and deemed to be needing replacement, but there has been private and public will to do this, but so far disagreements at various levels have seen years go by now without a resolution to the problem. So the Queens Care Society would like to see this situation corrected and these residential care beds expanded and certainly moved from that location. Since the closing of the Bowen University Paper Company, the Region of Queens has concentrated its energies on bringing new businesses to the region that would be employers, which is a commendable situation. But it's our suggestion that bringing new businesses to the region and keeping them here will require a three-pronged approach in addition to the activities already undertaken by the region. So number one, a proactive approach to housing of all types and price ranges, encouraging developers and looking at a coordinated approach to land use and extension of sewer and water facilities where needed. People are wanting to bring their businesses or to develop new businesses will want the appropriate housing to live in our community. So it's not just about the seniors, it's about business as well, we think. Number two, there needs to be an aggressive marketing strategy selling the region as a place to live. The region has so much to offer in beauty, infrastructure, the new hospital addition, our new schools, the Amera Center, the Astor Theater, but we have not showcased this in a way that encourages people to come. We have not taken advantage of social media or the internet. So we need to sell Liverpool and the region as a dynamic, vibrant, safe place to live for all ages, not just for seniors. And number three, we need to be aggressively looking at how we look after the elderly in our community. We need more and better long-term care beds, and we need to make a private-public model work so we can close Hillsview Acres and build an appropriate facility so residents of Queens County don't have to leave their community when they can no longer care for themselves in their home. So caring for these people in our community has spin-offs for community businesses such as pharmacies, supermarkets, hotels, The caring institutions are large employers in small communities, and we must not forget this. So these are the kind of things that we want to see move forward as we work on the Queen's Care Society, and so we're very excited to bring this to you and talk to you about it. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, so that was one of my last points, was to explain that this is a huge, or could be a huge economic boost for our community. If we have some more seniors living here happily with the infrastructure that they need, they're going to pay taxes, they eat food, they go to the pharmacy, they're going to use our doctors and lawyers and maybe not school teachers, but it's just a win-win for this community. It's a win for the senior generation, and it's a win for the other generations in the community. Personally, I think we owe it to our seniors. So, before I would entertain any questions, we look forward to a strong relationship with the region to help us produce a Queens County that is a great place to live for our seniors. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much. Are there other questions? Councilor Waldman.
On the transportation side, have you looked at the model for Claire Digby? How they are?
That is one of the ones we've looked at. Yes.
Well-used model. Yeah.
That's been referred to us, and we're looking.
Probably has a better reputation than, for example, King's Transit in the Valley, and so on. I think it's. As I hear it, it has a pretty good
reputation. Yeah, it's not a not-for-profit. The Kings is kind of candy-driven.
One of the reasons we're high on the Bridgewater senior wheels is that they're actually making money doing it. And there are some service clubs and other people who help contribute to it. But financially, they're in the black.
Councilor Fisk.
First of all, John and Al, I really think it was an excellent presentation. There's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, your members of your society, is it spread throughout the region of Queens, all through different areas?
We had a girl from North Queens that was a member, and she had to resign. It was too much driving. So we want all parts of the community represented.
The reason I don't want to make it long, I want to get short and sweet, but anyway, the reason I say that is because it's very important to me, as being on the outside of Riverville, that members of my community or North Queens community, throughout Port Midway and surrounding areas, because we all want to still stay Queens after we get older. That's one point. Now, getting into the housing part, I've always been for, we're really lacking in housing for seniors, and then that means apartments to suit the need of seniors. It has to be some sort of way to get around developers to get them interested to come to Queens. I totally agree that you both did a great presentation, and I hope to see.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments, because we have been talking to developers and we've also talked to investors. We haven't put any kind of a deal together, because I think that would take, again, the type of partnership.
May I just add to that, John? When the developers come in, I'm hoping we can look at two versions of this, maybe buy the units, or maybe I would prefer to see the rental part of units with seniors. Seniors would sell their properties and relocate and want the cash in the bank type of thing. I think that's important too. I don't think a senior 75 to 80 needs a new home.
Councilor Fancy.
Agreed.
A couple things I wanted to ask you about. The government, we had some people here a while back, there's a big push to try to keep some of the seniors in their homes, so they were going to set up some kind of a program to help with that. And I don't know where that is, because the one thing they had mentioned is the cost of, this is still a major problem, but along with that is to try to keep some in the homes that they could be able to help them with all the necessities. I don't know where that program is right now that that will at least help with the upcoming problem. And the other thing with Linda Winsell, with being the senior safety coordinator, where is this also? How does she fit into this? Because I mean, she helps with all the seniors who need help, even from their home areas.
She met with us with the transportation committee, and one of the things we found out is that position is being made, it's being lessened as she's leaving it. And we then sent a letter to the appropriate people in Halifax saying that we think this is a regressive step backwards. Just wanted to be on record to saying that, you know, don't stop doing this. It's too valuable. Linda does a fantastic job in this community. And it's a job that really, there's nobody else to do it. But we're well aware of that. And as far as the keeping people in their homes, and
I could speak to that if you want, just a little bit. I think you're talking about home care, which is an initiative by the provincial government to try to keep people in their homes longer. And so they've actually spent a lot of money doing that. And it is successful to a certain degree, but you can only keep people in their homes for so long. And what that effect has had, they have been successful, but what has happened is that by the time people leave, they're much further along in the need for their long-term care beds, and they're much sicker and more complex. So again, as they've shifted their emphasis and their money, they have kind of created another situation in our long-term care beds and our residential care beds, which is again why we think these are things that we have to really look at, you know, pretty quickly. Does that answer your question?
Councilor McLeod?
Well, gentlemen, you've made a very good presentation and short and very well worded. First of all, I want to commend your group for organizing yourselves, because often it's left up to municipalities and government, and this is a community-driven project that you're trying, or purpose that you're trying to achieve, and I really commend you for that. I've looked at your board of directors, and I noticed that you've got a good mix of expertise there. You have folks that have been involved in government, you have lawyers, so you have a lot of information and a lot of expertise that you can certainly rely on to go forward on some of your purposes and your commitments. Under the housing, I know that I've contacted and sent information to John on our SHAC, which is the Social Housing Coalition Action Group that I'm an appointee from council on. And Gary attended one of our meetings in Bridgewater. And Gary did mention something to me and just whispered in my ear. He said, you know, seniors is now becoming an industry rather than just something that we're trying to deal with still. So it's really something quite important. Government's realizing that now. Tourism used to be something that now has become an industry because they understand the importance of it and the benefits of it. And it is economic development driven and it's so on. So it really is a benefit. The mayor and I attended a session in Halifax organized by SEEN, and SEEN is the Silver Economy Engagement Network. And we attended that, and it was different opportunities for land engagement, and there's something called the Community Land Trust, and I think, John, I might have sent you some information on that. If I haven't, I can send that to you. But there's all a wealth of information out there that you can kind of capitalize on and get information about housing needs. The Baptist Convention have built those housing units. Sometimes they're too expensive, and they're not affordable to a lot of us in communities like Queens. So, I mean, those things may work in some areas, but not necessarily here. But we can certainly look at other ways to accommodate, you know, the affordability of people in our community. And the developers, there's a lot of land that is near serviced area that we don't have to extend water and sewer to. So we have to do an inventory in our community. Who owns this land? What would they do with it? This is an opportunity to build partnerships. So you're right on track. It's just that we kind of have to all work together to get our heads together, because we have information that maybe you can use, and I really think that could happen.
That sounds great. It was also at that conference, and I mean a lot to other people, but it goes to YouTube. Janet Sim, who is now the president of Northwood Manor, and they're interested in stepping out into housing in Bedford.
Wow.
She was vice president of clinical services for South Shore Health when we were all involved. Councillor Inglis.
I thank you both for coming and bringing a good audience with you. One of the things I notice, I look up, you know, you have one, two, three, I'm not a very good counter, five people came with you. One of those we raised and sent away and he came back. The rest are people that have chosen to come here and live. That's you, Hoggy, remember? Yeah. So the, you know, but it points out, you know, not only have people come here through work and chosen this as a great place to live, other people who have gone and had careers away want to come back here. So clearly, we have a community that people want to live in and they want to be able to stay in it when they're older. And, you know, back from my first run for council, you know, seniors housing, and some pretty capable people that I've worked with as a municipal counselor, including one that you brought with you, and one up here, and some great people on staff, have worked hard on that for a long time. Developers are hard to bring in, you know, they really are. So what I found exciting when John started talking to me about this initiative is that now we have some groundswell from the public. And every government in the world can claim that, you know, we have the best place, we have the need, please come. But I think, you know, now is a real opportunity, you know, to work with your group, you know, that shows a community groundswell rather than just, another government saying the same thing, to hopefully improve on some of those things. And you know, Jack mentioned staying in the home. Well, one of the realities in Queens County is that most family homes are not easy to stay in. You know, they require, I like looking at houses for sale. How many houses have I gone in that I've seen a dining room has been converted to a bedroom? You know, and there's a closet somewhere that's now has a toilet in it. You know, we're really trying to fit things that don't, you know, they're not going to get into that box. So, you know, if we can work collaboratively with the private sector, you know, and governments to really encourage the development of appropriate housing, it would fit in so well. We're a walkable community. We have a lot of the things that seniors want, including a gem that, you know, there's several people here that can take a lot of credit for, of a hospital. And, you know, we have the recreation center. We have the best arts and culture in Nova Scotia. You know, this is a great place to live at any age, but there's those missing pieces. And now that we got some good, bright people who are turning into seniors, they're, especially the one you're sitting with now. this is a great thing to have this level of people, everyone that's here committed to this, and I think it's an exciting time ahead.
Thank you, Bruce.
Deputy Mayor, and then Councilor Farrell.
As I listened to your information and all the great things you have, and I thought, how can we partner together? The survey's one thing, but the whole board, because much of what you talk about, we are doing. Some weaknesses in the marketing and the social part of it, a bit of weakness there. But the information that we're doing is not yet shareable. So I thought, well, how can we work together so you know what's going on? And then I thought, we do under economic development have a business economic development committee, which is made up of community members. And that organization meets when needed, usually quarterly. The members all sign a confidentiality waiver. And I'm thinking that this might be a good thing for us to do with your group, because there is information that we both should know and we both should work together. So perhaps if this council was willing to form an arrangement like that, where members, maybe your whole team, your whole board of directors, signs in with the region under that confidentiality agreement, where we can discuss what we're doing, would probably be the best way to move what we're doing along, because we all have the same goals. We all recognize that Hillsview needs replacement, and there is a lot of work in that area, but there's big stumbling blocks from the province. When you speak of home care, Dr. Doucette, it is a great thing the province has, but when speaking to home care workers, they become so restricted in what they can now do. They can no longer go get groceries for the people that they look after. They've been dictated to. So while government encourages people to stay in their home and supply them home care, they still need to find a way to get their food. Senior transportation for seniors in Liverpool, they do have, I mean, there are taxi services, and yes, they, you know, they're not free, but I think of the people that live in Port Lebert and Southwest Port Mattoon, who taxi service is so unaffordable for. So as you look at that senior transportation, you have to think about how far away so many seniors live. And, you know, I feel that seniors in Liverpool, you know, they do have transportation in the form of cab if they can pay it, but yet they're so they're so spread out. So I guess my main thing that I want to say is I hope we can form partnership together under a confidentiality type like we do with economic development, so we can work together and maybe get this stuff done, because it definitely needs to be done.
Councilor Frelick.
Thank you both and your whole team for making the presentation really informative. When you had mentioned the request for looking for partners, I didn't hear Queen's Association for Supported Living. Have you talked to them? Because they run a fairly active transportation program right now that goes from North Queens through. And when you're looking for those partners, is that how you kind of envision that working with existing ones? I say Hillsview that has a vehicle as well.
That was our initial feeling, and we haven't talked to the to your group, but we are aware of it, and we are also aware that there are buses there and so on.
Right.
I did talk to the CEO, and there was maybe some concern about the legality of everything, but there's interest.
Okay. And as far as housing, I mean, they're actively looking for housing, you know,
yes,
for special needs, but there's certainly probably a way other communities have formed a partnership with that.
And they're a guiding light. They've done things that never happened in this community before.
Yes.
And they've done it so it's as good as anywhere in this province.
And when you talk about the economic development and staff and what they require, you know, they carry a staff of 70 full-time and part-time people, so, and that's one little block of you know, individuals.
Yeah.
So great partner to have on board.
Absolutely, appreciate that.
Thank you very much for coming. I've listened carefully to what you said and what the councillors have said. Certainly, there has been progress made since 2004. The development under the previous administration under Mayor Leaf of Queens of Mersey Place is huge. There are a number of developments going on now. I'm aware of a dozen that have come along in the last year and a bit, and there's another 10 on the books. And so there is activity in that regard. We bought, we the region of Queens bought a piece of land from just above
Oxbridge.
Sorry,
Cobb's Ridge.
Thank you. I was having a senior moment, which I think was appropriate. Above Cobb's Ridge, it's about 34 acres. It's easily serviced. I mean, nothing is cheap when you put sewer and water in the ground, but it's readily accessible for sewer and water. So there's an opportunity there, and there are other pieces of land. You talk about housing and partnerships. Obviously, we need to be brought into the loop if you're bringing in developers. Yes, we'll work with them. We'll find ways around it. Transportation, I think we've talked about. I think when you came and we met sort of informally, I think there are opportunities between Hillsview Acres, the North Queens Nursing Home, the Manor, Queslar. You know, we've got at least three buses and maybe four, and maybe we can work something there, and I think that that could be done without a lot of expense, but and on a trial basis. So to answer your question, yes, we're ready, I'm sure, as a council to work with you to look for areas where we can grow together. So we appreciate the work you're doing, and keep and keep us in the loop, and we'll find ways of making it move ahead. So thank you all very much for coming. We appreciate it. Good job. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Mayor, would I take that to mean that as far as the survey, that you people would work with us on that?
Don't put words in my mouth, John, with all due respect. We will certainly give us something that's finite to look at, and we will respond to it very quickly.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
May I suggest something of Dr. Al? Would you give us a copy of your suggestions here of what you'd like us to do? Because I don't have anything written here.
Sure. Just have a photocopy of it before I go out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Steve Moore.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. John, if you're going to leave, take Gary with you. Will I see you tonight, Gary? 7 bells?
Yes.
Say amen?
Yes.
That'll be hot.
You also see me.
Thanks. Okay.
John?
The next item on the agenda, I would turn over to Councilor Waterman, and I would ask Heather Cook to come forward.
Councilor Inglis, Councilor Fisk, and I went to the North Queens annual banquet for their volunteer fire. And lo and behold, they presented us with this trophy for helping out with industry or a group for this year for doing their applications and helping with their funding. And it was to the mayor, council, and staff. And the staff they mentioned was former CAO, Kathleen Rayfuse, Lisa Dobbs, and Heather Cork.
And Jennifer. Jennifer, yeah.
Yeah, and so I would like to present this. You have to bring a book back next year. Don't get people for a year. Okay? Like they mentioned that the staff, if it weren't for the staff, the project might not have happened.
There was a huge amount of work, I'm aware, in the applications, and so all four of you deserve a tremendous amount of credit, and we will get word to those that are no longer with us. So thank you very much. Thank you.
I thought it was one of them.
I've crossed out, are there any petitions, but I suppose I won't get away with that. Are there any petitions? Moving quickly out of that one. Public questions, number 5, does the public, any member of the public have anything they'd like to bring to our attention? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very interested in the previous presentation, and it's something that certainly needs to be looked at. Being a senior citizen myself, I admit that.
Good thing, because you were going to get away with denying it.
You know, I don't vote that. Right. Seriously, it's good to see that they're looking at getting involved in senior housing and transportation and so on. It's something that we certainly need here. I know from being in my previous working life, I was a bank manager in Caledonia, as most of you probably know, and a number of those people that were a little older than I was at the time, but my customers, a number of them have since moved and will vote for senior housing and so on. It wasn't available here in Queens. A number of them ended up in Bridgewater and beyond. And I had a neighbor over there when I was in Hunts Point that ended up having to move to the valley because it wasn't suitable accommodations here. So I'm glad to see that it's being addressed, and I noticed under 16.2 in your agenda today, under council priority, senior housing is mentioned there that you're going to be looking there, and I think your CAO will be providing more information on that, which is good. So I think to see the two groups working together, perhaps maybe we can get something going here. I certainly don't want to have to move away from Queens County. I was born and brought up on Robertson Hill, and I'm not too far away from there now, and I want to stay in Queens County if I can. Anyway, the other thing, question, Mr. Mayor. under item number 12.1, when you get to your trestle trail, you're having a discussion there. Will there be an opportunity after that for anybody in the gallery to ask a question?
No, there will not. Not normally. If you've got questions, now's the time to do it. If you have questions, now's the time to do it.
Thank you very much. And another interesting item on here is the future of the courthouse. And I'm glad to see that you're recommending that in your CAO is that you look at a public meeting to get some public information as to where you're going there on that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. McLeod, could you give your name and address?
Arthur McLeod, Liverpool, 29 Marshall Street. Mayor, Council, Bylaw Officer, I don't want to leave anybody out.
As long as you've got the final on.
Just on behalf of my sister and I, we thank you very much for the great job you did removing the old long building next to our property. And and give thanks to the mayor. I never saw the mayor so many times in my life. I did it a couple of weeks there before the building went down. The only problem I had was when they removed that building, I left home at 6:45 that morning to fly to Ottawa for the weekend, and they started tearing the building down at 7. That was not good plan. I wanted to see that building. So if anybody has a recording, I'd have a copy. And Kellyanne did an amazing job. She was couple of hours you've been updating us a lot.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else who'd like to bring anything before council?
Mr. Mayor, Bill Cox, 121 Bar Road. I guess I'm going to sound like an echo here following Leon, but I was very impressed by the previous presentation. It was kind of a amazing thing that I was going to talk about seniors housing this morning in my question, but that came up from a presentation, so that it's pretty well covered. But it has been some time since the South Shore Housing Authority has put any additions to the senior housing stock in our community, and we are still paying for the losses of that, but I think that the input from the residents to the community in some indirect way does offset to what we are paying towards that. I note that the two recent housing additions on Pezant Street have been quickly taken up even before the construction is completed, so it does demonstrate that there is a need for seniors housing in their community. As Leon says, he was born and raised here. I'm a Johnny come lately to community in 1980, and when I was given the opportunity to decide where I wished to reside in my retirement, I chose to stay in Queens. I received a lot of criticism from people as to with you had the opportunity to go somewhere else, why did you settle there? But I really appreciate this community and the opportunities that it provides to people, and I'm proud to say I'm from this community, although people still call me a comfortable way after 35 years, but anyway, that's beside the point. But I think that it is wonderful that we have groups that are looking at the seniors and alternate housing, that when we get to the point that we can't stay in our own homes, and I know that there are lots of groups out there that if we could just put our finger on the right button to get the contact that can assist us in that regard. I'm also very interested in item 16.2, Council's priorities. Some of these have appeared on priority list for a number of years and have gone a little ways, but haven't got completely to fruition. But I'm pleased to see that they're on the list again, and hopefully the opportunities might be a little more brighter this time to move them forward. Thank you for your time.
And a lot of those things like priorities, Mr. Cox, you keep inching forward, you know, you keep making progress. They might come to the on the list, but they're not, they don't start at the same place as they started the previous time. You're making headway. A lot of them, you know, just takes a long time to achieve the end. So, is there somebody else you'd like to address? Mr. Dagley, you're not going to? Well, okay. I correct what I said earlier. It's going to be a shorter meeting this time. Okay, that brings us to item 6 on the agenda, the approval of the minutes, and I would entertain a motion. I've got a mover by Councillor Inglis to approve the minutes of September the 22nd, seconded by Councillor Prelock. All in favour? You're voting with a glass in your hand, Deputy
Mayor?
Yes,
I am.
It's unanimous, thank you. I would like to ask the bylaw enforcement officer to come forward.
Who has
had a big moment in her life since she last gave a council.
She looks no older, but much wiser.
No, I didn't get married.
No,
she's getting closer to being a senior, though.
That's right, 5 years away.
The motion, Mayor Clark, that's in my district, so I'll read that for you.
Yes.
I move that the Council of Region, the Region of Queens Council, declare the property located at 56 Wolf Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly, as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that Region of Queens Council cause an order to be served upon the owners of the property located at 56 Wolf Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that within 7 days of the service of order, the following work be carried out. Number one, cut grass and maintain on a seasonal basis, and number two, exterior cleanup of property. And that if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owners.
Is there a second to that motion? Councillor Fisk. Discussion. Bylaw Enforcement Officer Hurley.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
56 Wolf Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7001-5748. Is a standard and residential parcel of land owned by Amy Lynn Kempton and Morgan Kempton. This property has been on my roster on a few previous occasions due to the property owners and family vacating the premises and having to be reminded to clean up the property exteriors, mowing up the grass, and fully securing the oak building and or garage. Unfortunately, as of late, the owners had to be reminded again with negative compliance at this time. Thus, my recommendation for a formal order for compliance. I have been in constant contact either by telephone or in person with both owners on a very regular basis. Both owners have informed me that they are not in a position to comply with the Region of Queens Municipality request at this time. Therefore, a 7-day formal order to cut the grass and maintain on a seasonal basis and clean up the property exteriors is recommended by myself. As of recent, I was given permission by both owners to remove an old freezer located on the property which contained a large amount of household garbage, rendering a possible rodent issue. A local scrap dealer removed the same and delivered it to the Region of Queens landfill for us. I am requesting consideration for a 7-day formal order in this regard.
Discussion. Councillor Inglis.
This has been on Kellyanne's roster for a while, and I have personally received complaints from the public about it. The garbage outside, which she's done a great job in advance of getting removed, was certainly an attractant for rodents, and the, as we all know, long grass is another great place for rodents to gather and commune and reproduce or whatever it is they do. And you know, so the steps that she has taken are great. The ongoing maintenance of the property is going to be an issue, so I think that this is an efficient order and it's going to be a big relief to the folks in the neighborhood to know that we're taking charge of a situation that isn't going to solve itself.
Further discussion?
Questions
called for on the motion. You ready? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Councilor Fisk, would I think you perhaps remove the next one since it's in your district?
I so recommend that the council immediately declare the property located on 5232 Highway 210, Greenfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that the council cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property located at 5232 Highway 210, Greenfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that within 30 days of the date of the serve of the order, the following work be carried out. Demolition of a collapsed outbuilding, cleanup of debris and property disposed of, leveling of property, wells to be covered, cut grass and maintain on a seasonal basis, clean up exterior of property, remove tires, metals, household garbage, toys, furniture, broken fencing, plastics, and vehicle parts, and install a civic number. And that if the order fails to, the owner fails to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out, and all expenses incurred by the regional municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Is there a seconder for that motion, Councillor Waterman? Discussion.
5232 Highway 210, Greenfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 70111083 is a residential lot located almost in the heart of a local community known as Greenfield. The property bears a collapsed building and has been vacated by the property owner for some time. The property has not been maintained for a long time, rendering a request for a formal order through the Region of Queens Municipality. I have recently been in contact with the property owner, known as Carol L. Hatt, by registered mail and in person last week. Ms. Hatt resides in LaBelle, Queens County now, however, is not in a position to rectify property issues at this time. I have made recommendation for a 30-day formal order in order to bring the offending property up to what is considered to be neighborhood standard. Ms. Hatt duly advised that she will be posting her property for sale in the coming months. Thus, a 30-day order to demolish outbuilding, clean up, and level off the area as to where the outbuilding once stood, cover any existing wells that are uncovered, cut grass and maintain on a seasonal basis, install civic number, and clean up property exteriors existing of tires, metals, household garbage, toys, furniture, broken fencing, plastics, and vehicle parts. I ask for your consideration today for a 30-day order.
There's a discussion on that. Councilor Fisk.
I'd like to say that the property that we speak of is indeed a very serious situation that needs to be cleaned up as soon as possible. And I do agree with the bylaw officer. She's done a great job. They keep continuing to work with Mrs. Hatt. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on this issue? The question is called. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Mayor Clark, can I speak of the break process? Can I make a comment for Kellyanne? It's germane.
As long as it's not about a birthday.
It's about my age.
Well, you know, I find it really impressive that as she ages. I had something that I really noticed traveling around is that our community, in my opinion at least, has a higher neighborhood standard, regardless of what neighborhood you're in, than many communities. And as such, people are very demanding because they expect that from us. And I remember Kellyanne once was away for 2 days and had 85 voicemails. And somebody said to me over the weekend, they were talking about a property, and they said, well, I don't know what that Kellyanne Hurley does. And I stood up and I said, Kellyanne Hurley is the most overworked person in Queens County. And they said, oh, is that true? And I said, yes, it absolutely is. And when you have somebody like Art come here today, and talk about the cooperation between, you know, in a situation that we had little control over, how Kellyanne helped and kept him informed is a real nice thing and a good way to celebrate her 50th birthday.
You think?
So now that she's older, do you think she'll be able to keep up that standard?
I don't know. I'm preparing us for a
I'm
lesser...
I'm slowing down slowly. Thank you so much.
Thank
Arthur,
you.
Thank you.
Denver, have a good day.
You too.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Rip them all down.
I will.
Okay, that brings us to item 8, economic development. As the chair of economic development, do you have anything, Deputy Mayor?
Nothing to report at this point in time.
Thank you.
Although we did have a new Sheep to Shore yarn shop opening for all those knitters in the world, and I also noticed that Sheep to Shore are doing, have worked with Queen's Place and are doing that come bring your knitting, crocheting, whatever it is you do. So that's great to see a new business with a young person that owns it and working in cooperation with Queen's Place to bring some activity there. So
great.
Congratulations to Sheep to Shore. Western Hit.
Yeah.
9 to noon, Monday to Friday.
Yes.
If I can just make mention that the Christmas on the Mersey plans are being formulated now for this year, and that's under the Social Chamber of Commerce. They're doing great things again.
Great.
December 4th and 5th.
Parade's on?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Anything else on economic development? If not, I move into corporate services. Councillor Fisk,
yes.
9.1, there's a motion.
Yes. I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve that Hillsview Acres Home for Special Care purchase 10 Clio Glide chairs and 6 matching ornaments for the price of $13,565 plus HST.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Waterman seconding. Discussion.
I think these are great things for our residents there. I see the source of funding as special operating reserve. Is that Hillsview Acres money? Is that, that's the Hillsview Acres special operating reserve and not the general special operating reserve?
I'm glad you raised that point because it really should be noted in the minutes that that's where it's coming from.
Okay, because I wondered why we'd be taking it out of ours and not theirs.
Other discussion?
Question?
I wondered why only 10. I mean, I know you can only buy these things, and, you know, money is always an issue, but there are with 29 residents. Maybe we're going to do one room. Is that the...
Yeah, the lounge area. I can follow up with council. I didn't ask Janie to come in to go over, but we were going over her needs. She said that she needed to replace some chairs. And that's what I
Great. Other discussion? Are you ready for the motion, for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And then we're an update on Fire Prevention Week.
Mayor, Mr. Clark, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to attend the North Queens Fireman's Banquet. Councilor Inglis was the master of ceremonies at that event. He did a very fine job of making sure he included everybody in the room. It just brought a lot of respect for North Queens. I walked in that new facility with the fire hall and the hub adjoined to the fire hall. It's just a fantastic building. I think it will help the area immensely. And the firemen in North Queens are very hardworking individuals, including the auxiliary. I should bring up that they raised $24,000 this year and passed it on to the fire department to buy special things that they needed. They said they were not going to give any more this year, which is a good thing to say. Mark Fury from the province was there. He spoke very well. The fireman, the fire chief, David Lonis, did an excellent job speaking. Bill Wombolt, I really have special feelings for Bill Wombolt. He's worked very hard on that project, and Councillor Waterman sat beside me, and we enjoyed the evening immensely, and thank you very much.
And
yes.
I might note that the North Queens Fire Department has 20-plus junior firemen.
Yeah. Yes,
and,
sure, yeah.
And so it's healthy and strong.
Oh, great. Okay.
And I think Peter really touched on this when he was presenting that trophy to Heather. But in the chief's speech, which of course was, you know, the big one for him because he's made a lot of them, and this is the one where he finally has his hall that he lost all his hair over. And you know, he spoke at length about how there are fire departments fighting with municipalities, fire departments fighting with fire departments fighting within their fire departments, and what a great relationship they have with their departments and with their municipality. And of course, people who get elected love to take the credit for those relationships and get in photographs and such. But let me tell you, he really touched on the great staff here, you know, from, you know, now they deal with April and Richard, to the past with Kathleen, Jennifer, and all the work that Heather did. And, you know, we can go out and have breakfast and schmooze and get our pictures taken all that we want, but if the staff wasn't providing that kind of, you know, far and above service that helps that stuff be real, it wouldn't happen. And you know, David, who can be I'll go on record if somebody's recording this, can be the grumpiest, most contentious person in the world, really was sending our heartfelt thank you to everybody that worked so hard to help him from here. So,
and I think included in that, and I fully endorse, and that's why I made sure that I didn't get in the photograph or presentation, but I think that they recognize that council's donation up front of $375,000 was the thing that broke the log jam,
and it
and that other
yes.
money flow as well. I think that it's really been a team effort with council and staff and the fire department on
that
this one. It's the whole community. And my only regret is that they've still got some debt that they have to work down. But it's been a wonderful project. Yes, it's great.
The debt, I believe, is half paid for now.
Is it? Well, did the province announce any more money when?
No.
Okay. Councillor Fisk.
Mayor Clark, may I just continue on for just one more minute? I've got to bring something up.
Yes, because I've got something I need to raise too under this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, during Fire Prevention Week, the Region of Queens, through the Rec Department, installed a sign in Greenfield, a community sign. And to give you an example, it's a luminous sign. And to give you an example, the breakfast in Greenfield, they were receiving 100 people at one time. The first breakfast in that sign was installed, they received over 200. And they were always having a difficult time with the Recreation Association in Greenfield on their planked salmon suppers to sell their tickets. They sold out overnight, so they're very happy. It's a very respectful sign for the community, and I want to thank the region for that.
Well, you say they're very happy, but I went to an event outside Queens County and got my ears significantly boxed by the president of the largest employing company in the region of Queens, who is, there is concern, and I'm joking about it, but I don't mean to.
No.
There is a misunderstanding in Greenfield about the funding, and for the fire, you know, we negotiated with the fire chiefs the new funding arrangement. The first fire department that is up for a truck under the new arrangement is Greenfield, $275,000 from the region, but there is a misunderstanding, so I've got to put together an email in the next couple of days to explain it more fully, and then I think that we'll go out and meet the fire department at the next meeting to clear up any misunderstanding, because the fire chiefs were all so pleased with that arrangement, it doesn't seem reasonable that there should be some disgruntlement about it.
Mayor Clark, I think with us going out to give them to make sure they understand, I think they'll appreciate that, and I think it will come across.
Yeah,
good. I think they'll
understand in the input. Thank you. Anything else on fire prevention or discussion on fire departments? We are then into engineering and works. Councillor Waterman, I was just waiting, giving Brad a chance to get forward, but he's had a heavy weekend of exercise, and it's taking him a little longer to get up here.
First one, tractor. I move that the council of Regents of Nuñez Valley approve the purchase of the 2016 highway tractor from Silver Squares 2008 Limited at the price of $142,125.67 plus agency, and that the purchase be funded from the landfill equipment reserve.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Brad, do you want to get sure. to the discussion, please?
This item's part of the capital budget that the region approved for this year. It's leachate equipment upgrades, which really comprises of three main elements, of which this is one. The previous two is a tanker trailer, which has been purchased. We expect it to be delivered in December. The other item is pumping station upgrades. And what we're doing there is we're upgrading our pumping station, our septic station, removing the hauling from the main pump station by Hank Snow, so we won't be unloading air anymore. It's putting too much wear on our main pumps, as all our septic or all our sewer within Liverpool, Milton, and Liverpool goes to those pumps, and it's putting unnecessary wear on that just for the leaching. We're moving that down by the, like we say, by the more direct to the lagoons themselves near the septic station, putting additional pumps there and a wet well to pump from. This particular tractor, it's good pricing on, so you can tell by the price, and there's quite a range of pricing. It will be put into service when we get it, and our current one, which we purchased in 2005, we will be keeping that, because as the landfill gains area over time during periods of wet weather, spring and in the fall, we've had in the past had to run double shifts, so basically 24 hours a day, because you have to keep up, because as the rain falls, you have to haul it away, because that's what leachate is. It's just rainwater as it passes through residual waste garbage. And as your landfill matures over time, it gains area, so therefore it has a greater watershed. So this here item, we're pretty pleased with the pricing. It's within budget and asking for approval.
Question before we take the motion, or we'll take the question, yes?
I just have a question. Brad, do you remember how much we had budgeted for that? Did that come in quite a bit under what we had budgeted?
The budget was a total of all the three elements, and off the top of my head, I think it was $375 for all. The tractor, the tanker rather, I think that was $125 roughly. So this is, say, $150, so we've got about $75,000 to $100,000 left. I don't know the exact number, something like that for the pump station upgrades, which is
but it came in at a good
amount.
Price.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be a little under over the overall budget.
That's good.
Yeah. With all elements added.
Councilor McLeod, Councilor Waterman.
Brad, just a clarification. Like, this is a highway tractor and trailer, and we've already purchased the tanker trailer.
This is a truck.
A truck,
like a semi-truck.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. And it's used mostly out at the landfill, or does it?
It would be hauling, that silver trailer that we haul, the tanker trailer.
Yeah.
They would be hauling that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that's for.
Councilor Waterman?
Yeah, this would be a good long-term investment. The other tractor we bought secondhand.
It was a Woods tractor.
So that's a good sign. It's an easy haul from the landfill in, so it should have long-lasting. What I was kind of curious was Silver's and East Coast International. They will sell international. To see what
it's doing. It's exactly the same truck.
I thought.
Precisely.
Councilor Fisk.
Brad, may I ask, the existing tractor we're using at the present time, will that be used on a part-time basis?
In the spring and the fall,
yeah,
and as a backup. Because as you have equipment breakdown, and it breaks down, equipment breaks down, you have to still haul, right? So it would be used for that. Yeah. And that particular unit's probably got a little over 1 million miles on it now. Still in good shape, right? I mean, but you have to spend money to keep it in good shape, right? So.
I know people sometimes grimace and kind of say things and about the side of their mouth about every time we buy new equipment. However, the landfill is a business,
Yes. And
it makes money. And if we're going to run a business, we need to make sure that we keep our business infrastructure in place. So I just think it's good to remind people that.
Landfill does a great job in keeping the tax rate.
That's right. It's an important thing, and we need equipment for there. And it's coming out of money made there.
Yes.
Well, I think Darlene's as right as rain on that, Councillor Norman, sorry. Having sat through 7 years of Bradley coming, and you watch the process as things work their way through our works department, they don't waste a whole lot. When we're done with it, it's done.
Exactly. It's
we may spend a lot of money, but we don't throw good money after bad.
Okay, are you ready for the question on this motion?
Yes, sir.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And now